We actually have insurance companies begging us to sell franchises so they can give us business.
Wow.
That's why we think it's such a remarkable idea, you know, a remarkable opportunity is nobody's ever done this. Nobody believes that you can do it. And then you show them and they're like, wow, I had no idea.
All right. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today, we're diving into a brand that's rewriting the rules in the $66 billion disaster restoration industry. Most people think of restoration as tearing out drywall, ripping up flooring, or replacing entire kitchens. But what if there was a smarter, faster, and more cost-effective way? That's exactly what Renew Medic has done. Born out of Service Master's Furniture Medic brand, Renew Medic focuses on one of the most overlooked, yet most expensive parts of a home, cabinetry. Using their proprietary process, they save insurance carriers time, save homeowners money, and keep families in their home instead of moving them into temporary housing. The item 19 earnings claim is seven figures while only operating 5 days per week. You have restoration industry upside with the quality of life of a banker's hours. All right, let's get into it. I want to begin with this question. So when I think of disaster restoration, I'm thinking about water, fire, mold, biohazard, packouts, contents cleaning. I'll be honest with you, I never really thought about rebuilding the cabinets. So you have a long history in this industry. You've been the chief development officer for multiple brands, very large brands. How did Renew Medic pull you out of retirement? What do you know that others don't know?
I appreciate that. No, Furniture Medic was a brand of Service Master. And at Furniture Medic, they had sold a number of franchises to Service Master Restore owners, big, very large restoration owners. And over the years, they had invented this service. There was a couple of them that really looked at taking the skill set of a Furniture Medic in terms of color matching stains and refinishing and rebuilding things with wood and applied it to their restoration business, offering a different service. It's really kind of a disruptive service to the disaster restoration industry. And they had created that, and they had become the largest Furniture Medic owner. Some of them were upwards of $6 million in revenue, $4 million in revenue, some big owners. And the name Furniture Medic just did not offer their cabinet business anything of value. We had known that back when I was at Service Master, but it was such a small company, we really didn't focus on it. I was offered the opportunity to invest alongside a private equity group to purchase the Furniture Medic brand from Service Master. I was retired after we had sold Authority Brands, and my wife looked at me, she said, "You're not helping anybody anymore." And that, to me, is the greatest thing about franchising, is all I do every day is try to help somebody achieve their dreams, try to grow their business, trying to find what I call unexpected success. And so jumped in and been having the time of my life.
That's really cool. So when you think, it's amazing to me in franchising, you know, look at, I think it was Service Master. They were like a moth mitigation company in the very, very beginning when it was founded, right? Look at how look at Rainbow International. They were dyeing carpet. I didn't even know that was a thing. Right? I mean, honestly, I am fascinated by how these brands evolve. It's like, look, you evolve or die. So here you are with this Furniture Medic, and it's pretty simple. I've used it. I've had furniture delivered to my house. There's scratches, dings, and dents. They're like, no problem. We're not going to replace it, but we're going to send someone out. And I'm amazed at how these guys, they're magicians. They really are. The way they color match, the way they figure out how to take that dent, ding, or that deep gouge on that piece of furniture and fix it. But what I'm hearing is that the Furniture Medic residentially, with the damage and the dings, evolved into maybe ServPro calling up one of your guys and saying, "Hey, I got this kitchen job," right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, Cliff. Because we had a number of Furniture Medic owners that also own Service Master stores, they learned to do contents work first. And then, you know, for years and years, for decades, the only solution was, we can't match a new cabinet with these 25-year-old cabinets that sit beside it and the ones that are on the uppers. And so they would rip out the entire kitchen and replace it. And they said, we can fix that. We can take these skills and just do a surgical extraction of just the affected boxes, rebuild the damage, and put it back in and clean and touch up the rest of the cabinets and make them look like the day they were installed, brand new, for a fraction of the cost.
It's interesting too, right? When you walk through a house and you look at a dated kitchen, you're immediately like, that's going to cost a fortune. It never really occurred to me, when you suffer a loss like a flood, couple sleeps through the night, hot water tank or something explodes near a kitchen, right? Just destroys it, really. You're talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of gallons of water that could seep out of ice makers, dishwashers, et cetera. It never really occurred to me the expense of the kitchen cabinets. And in some cases, it's my understanding, it could be 50% of the actual losses to the insurance claim. Is that accurate?
Well, if you think about it, it is. It's, you know, $30,000-$40,000 for a brand new kitchen. And if you think about what you were in the restoration industry in terms of a mitigation cleanup cost and basic reconstruction of the floor and walls, cabinets dwarf that. And you're not just putting in cabinets, you're putting in countertops. And sure. So, you know, and then it's a 3 to 6 month process, depending on the the wait time for the cabinets and the insurance company sticking you up in an Airbnb somewhere for 4 months at extraordinary cost. And so your life is disrupted. There's just so cabinets are the most expensive thing in that loss. And there's a number of specialty restoration brands that have popped up. You know, we all know like CRDN does textiles, but they moved into electronics and art. But of textiles, electronic, and art, they pale in comparison to the cost of cabinets. Cabinets are the single largest expense in a loss. And we know roughly 2% of all homes in America will get water or fire damage in any given year. And over half of those get damaged cabinets. And so it's the biggest single item to specialize in. It's kind of an interesting dynamic.
That is interesting. I want to go back to a comment you made about this. I think you made a comment like 20-year-old, you know, how are you doing that exactly? So let's take a 20-year-old cabinet, right? This has a unique routing. It has unique wood grain. There's uniqueness to 20-year-old look and feel compared to a shaker door today that's, you know, popular in these homes. How are you doing that exactly? What skill sets required to say, all right, it's a 20-year-old door. We're going to actually restore the pre-loss condition of this kitchen, which is 20 years old. How are you doing that?
So there's a number of things. The most common thing is we pull off the face frame and the doors. They're the most expensive part of a cabinet. I tell prospective franchisees, don't overcomplicate this. We build a box out of wood. But generally speaking, we'll surgically extract the cabinet. We'll pull the face frame and door off and save them. All right, we're going to put that back on a brand new box. Normally, the only part of a cabinet that's damaged is what's sitting on the ground and maybe an inch up with the water, and it compromised the wood or the press board or whatever is made out of the MDF. And so we'll pull those off. You're only insured to pre-loss condition. You're not insured to brand new kitchen every time your kitchen gets damaged. We'll pull those off. We'll rebuild the box, maybe just rebuild the base, and we'll put those back on, but we'll do a clean and touch up. We can fill in the dings and the dents, and we can give it a new sheen, and we can match the color, and we can order a new door. And we typically do new doors through subcontractors, but we do have franchisees that can order a custom knife and put it on a shaper and build it themselves. So, but generally speaking, we subcontract the doors, and there are people that do very well at that. But we're talking about just pulling two or three or five cabinets in most cases, pulling the face frames off, saving them, putting them back on a brand new box and reinstalling it and doing it within 2 weeks. And it's not rocket science, but it does take skill. We do have a finisher on staff. We have a cabinet builder or a skilled carpenter on staff, and we can take care of most anything, any type of cabinet door.
Mike, this could be taught like at your franchise headquarters. You could literally teach someone to be a finisher and a field tech in this space.
Yeah. At Discovery Day, it's kind of interesting. Our trainer, Gina, she's remarkable. She's been with us a long, long time. She will actually take a gouge and gouge out a cabinet door, and she will fix it. And she'll fix it within 2 minutes, and she'll do it in front of the franchisee and spin it around and ask the franchisee where it was fixed. And most of the time, they cannot find it. It's just remarkable.
That is impressive.
And then she'll have a prospective franchisee do it and show them how easy it is. But yes, so we teach color matching. We teach all the finishing, and we use just water-based products. So there's no what they call high odor VOCs, and so you can do work in the home without disturbing the home. So,
interesting. Is it fair that is your business model 100% restoration or not at all? We're also in the furniture medic business, even though we're RenewMedic. There is a bleed there.
So we still have furniture medic franchisees, and a number of our franchise owners also own a furniture medic that they had before they started a RenewMedic. And that could be a significant business in and of itself. Furniture medic is first and foremost a commercial business, hotels and restaurants. Hotel needs to get ready for an annual inspection, and a restaurant needs to keep their place looking good. They can't go buy new furniture all the time, that type of thing. But they do DR, but DR is the core of our business. We also offer at the back end of a restoration what we call a clean and touch up, where we might clean all of those 25-year-old cabinets and give them a fresh sheen. We might, you know, recolor any spots that get worn, give them a fresh sheen and make them look like the day they were installed 25 years ago as a service. We also, as our franchise owners get bigger, we can offer direct cabinet transformation services. You know, ultimately, every single one of our franchisees owns a fully functioning custom cabinet building shop with all the tools necessary. And they can, and you know, if a homeowner decides to cash out and take that check and get a new kitchen anyway, we have a cabinet installation crew, and we can install new cabinets as well.
Wow, that's very interesting. Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Let's go into the marketing piece, how you're actually getting this business. Are you marketing? Is it really B2B marketing? We're marketing to Paul Davis, ServPro, ServiceMaster, PuriClean. Are you doing agent and adjuster marketing? Or no, we're going to B2B, not on the insurance side.
I will tell you this. It's a remarkable situation. We're a very, very small company. We have, I think, 38 total territories, 12 units serving, but we have a national accounts program. This isn't a preferred vendor program. This is a national accounts program where insurance companies feed us leads, and we manage those leads, give them to our franchisees. They perform the work. So we have a relationship with Allstate, with Farmers, with Liberty Mutual, with Swift and Mercury and a number of others. And we actually provide about a little over 50% of the revenue of this entire system comes from those national accounts. But locally, every DR company, every mitigation company needs a cabinet subcontractor. They hate cabinets, generally speaking. Some of them are large enough to have their own cabinet shops, but most of them are not. And we can become their cabinet subcontractor. We're the only one that's focused. We call our service emergency cabinet removal. We'll get in there very quickly to pull the cabinets within 24 hours, most cases, and pull those cabinets and allow them to dry. And we reduce their cycle time. So that's our sales pitch. It makes them more attractive to the insurance companies, and they can get more mitigation jobs, and we can be their cabinet subcontractor. But because the adjusters over time get to know you, and we do direct marketing to adjusters and pull them in and bring them in, show them what we do, and they will send us work directly. In 5 years, every adjuster in town will know you and will say to Paul Davis, don't touch those cabinets until RenewMedic gets there and gives me an estimate.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's 30, 40 grand That's for right. a new kitchen. Can be upwards of 100 grand on a nice home. So
absolutely.
So, and our general ticket, our average ticket's about 8,000. So it could be 40 grand over 4 months or 8 grand over 2 weeks. And so
I love that. I was going to ask you that. It's like, okay, like don't tear out the cabinets because it could, but let's just use the 30,000 to be consistent with the cost of the kitchen. It's like, if you're saving them 30, you're only eight. That's the relationship.
We actually have insurance companies begging us to sell franchises so they can give us business.
Wow.
That's why we think it's such a remarkable idea, you know, a remarkable opportunity. Is nobody's ever done this. Nobody, even when you first come into a market, nobody believes that you can do it. And then you show them, and And they're like, wow, I had no idea. I can save, I can shorten cycle time. You know, insurance companies care about two things. Well, number one is cycle time, and number two is customer satisfaction. They have to reserve against that loss, and anybody who can take from the time a claim starts to the time it gets closed out, if Absolutely. You can squeeze that down, they will focus on that vendor and then give them more business.
Yeah, like you said, you're not displacing the homeowners. That's another massive expense, renting a house for a family because you did rip out the kitchen cabinets instead of right. hiring a company like yours. Right. Yeah, I mean, just for the audience, Mike has said a lot today. I mean, you're talking about 2% of homes will suffer some type of water damage, fire damage, something will happen to them, dryer vent, fire, something's going to happen to 2% of the homes in America. This is a $66, $70 billion industry. Also learning today that 50% of those losses could be not only the kitchen cabinets, but the countertops. And this brand is actually helping the insurance company. You're sitting right in the middle. You're a true mitigator. You're mitigating liability of the homeowner. You're mitigating liability in the insurance industry. And for that, it puts you in a powerful position to be referred.
It's like, that's a better way of saying this is a really cool idea. So that's
right? It is a cool idea. I like it a lot. And I love how you're marketing. You know, let me say something. So when you think about, hey, what do you do? Hey, well we're ServPro. Okay, what do you guys do? We do waterfront mold biohazard. All right, well, I'm CRDN. Yeah, my boss bought a little dry cleaner. We do that now. And then you go to the next guy, you know, Paul Davis, like, yeah, we bought a little art restoration company. Mike, no one wants to be in your business. There's no mitigator. Seriously, think about it. There's a lot of mitigators that end up expanding from their core competencies by being in electronics restoration, art restoration, or just dry cleaning. You know, it's just not very difficult. No one wants to be in your business. So when you're marketing, it's like, we hate the cabinetry piece. No one wants, yes, nobody wants 8,000, 15,000 square feet of industrial space with CNC machines, highly skilled employees, like you said, the finishers, the field techs. So when you approach any restoration company, it's like, you're my guy. Like instantly, I need you. You're my guy. My adjuster gave me a lot of shit last month because I tore out 50 grand in cabinets. And I'm like, why? Why would you do that when within your zip code, there's a furniture medic? We didn't know they existed. We didn't know what they did. We thought they did the small dings and dents. No, they will restore to pre-loss condition a $50,000 kitchen. Yes. I love your model, man. I really do.
I appreciate that. It's a really cool idea.
It is.
And we think it's an enormous idea. And so we hired Repem as a franchise sales organization to launch this brand. And they are just a fantastic franchise sales organization, all former Frandev guys, mostly from Driven Brands, and understand this business. And we're just excited. They're doing amazing things. So
I love the national vendor programs. We have a ton of clients that will ask us to mitigate risk for themselves. It's like, look, I'm a displaced corporate executive. I'm looking for a franchise. What are the safer plays? Of course, the safer plays are never the sexiest businesses, but they're tried and true. They always come out the other side of an economic cycle clean, housing crisis, COVID, recessions, always. You guys always come out clean on the other side because recessions and housing crisis, they don't care about unmitigated disasters like hurricanes and water damage and cracked pipes. That stuff's happening no matter who's in the White House, no matter what fiscal stimulus is going on. Losses and property damage will occur regardless of whether you're employed or not, regardless of economic cycle. So,
and cool. no matter what, when it does happen, you need somebody and need them immediately. It's not like you're going to put this off until times are better. You just have to have it done because you can't live in it.
It's so true. We interviewed the CEO of First Team. You know them well. They don't compete, obviously, First Team. So same thing. 50% of their revenue was coming from national vendor programs. And for people listening, this is a huge metric in the interview. 50% of the revenue potentially is coming from national vendor programs, presuming that program is in the area that you reside in. That's big. That's really big. And then you fill in that gap by getting out and do aggressive marketing. You could build a beautiful business. And we're going to get into that in a minute.
I think this is a little bit of a chicken or the egg thing as well. We're going after more of the insurance companies as we continue to grow and fill in the top 50 markets will be much more attractive, the insurance companies to work with us. And, you know, eventually, you know, the gold standard is State Farm. They're as big, I think, as their next three largest competitors combined. And, but you have to be big. You have to have national coverage to be able to do that.
So that's right.
As we continue to grow, we'll continue to get more program work, and we're chasing that all the time. We have an entire team dedicated to that. We manage the claims that come through that, and we will get you paid for that. We'll collect the money and get you paid for that. So those are great programs. And I believe any franchise company that can supply, I think the tipping point in my mind is somewhere around 25% of the revenue of a system. If they can do that on their own without you doing anything, that's when it becomes remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in franchising, you look at franchisors, you've been around a long time. I mean, you're just a seasoned veteran in franchising, and your heart's in the right place. You have an undying devotion to your franchisees, and you have a history of doing that from brand to brand, which is great. Because a lot of leaders in franchises, sometimes they're more greedy, right? They do silly things. What I found with you was very interesting, the territory size. A lot of people that are investigating franchises do not put enough emphasis on what is my market area. I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of shocked at the size of the territory that you award for a single unit. Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm reading 250,000 households.
Single family homes.
Yes. Yeah. That equates to over 1 million population for a single territory. How did you get to that number? Why so generous, if you will, right? I find that pretty generous.
There's a reason for it.
Tell me.
I'll do the math for you. So we have designed these to be large multi-million dollar businesses. We want a single territory to be able to generate between $3 and $5 million or more.
Okay.
So if you do the math, 250,000 single family homes, and that's a minimum for a standard size territory. You take 2% of those, that's 5,000 homes that are going to get water or fire damage. And if you take half of those, and we were told by a number of insurance companies, it's somewhere between 55 and 60% of those have cabinets. But if you take half of those, there's 2,500 homes that have damaged cabinets that needs your service. The great benefit, so if you think about the industry, you have all these companies, all these mitigation companies. And in any given market, there might be 30 or 40 different mitigation companies, and they're all fighting over that water loss or that fire loss, trying to get that job. Here, you've got the advantage of working as a subcontractor for each and every one, taking advantage of all of their sales strategies and all their marketing, and you can work on every single job in the marketplace. Because, you know, our franchisee in Charlotte, he used this terminology. He says, we're a unicorn. We're a one-on-one. Nobody does what we do. And most people don't believe we can do what we do. But that's the idea, is we wanted to create, if you just get 10% market share in that territory, that's a $2 million business at an $8,000 average ticket, 250 jobs if you get 20%. So, you know, ultimately, we knew what you know, we have a franchisee in Denver that was really strong. His P&L's in the item 19. He got to a point in two territories, was pushing $7 million in revenue at one point. So we know what, you know, penetration potential is. And so we built these territories so each and every franchise owner could be a 7-8-figure revenue business.
I want to get into the item 7 before I jump into this insanely impressive item 19, especially this Denver operator. Well, your corporate stores too. I mean, a lot of your corporate locations are doing phenomenal, but this Denver guy is an outlier, and we'll dig into that. But let's start with item 7, and then we're going to wrap it up with item 19. This is a big investment range. So this is not your Pura Clean, you know, 150 grand, lease a van, little SBA, get an equipment package. So I'm looking at $423,000 to $734,000. Help me understand what is included in that. It's a pretty wide range. What's going on?
Yeah, it is
there?
A wide range. So there's the variability is in the real estate, but the equipment package, you're opening generally a 7,500 square foot light industrial flex space, full custom cabinet building shop. You're buying a CNC machine, $65,000. You're buying the pumps. That hold the wood down via vacuum, probably 8,000 a piece. You're buying table saws and edge banders and dust collection control systems and a spray booth. One of the big variabilities is in the installation of the spray booth. Some fire chiefs require all kinds of fire suppression inside that vent, even though we use mostly water-based products. And so that's the variability is, you know, we need, you know, a lot of amperage and 240 volts. And so you might have to put in some electrical and in certain areas. And so that's the variability. Yeah. Okay. And then the variability in just installing, so the spray booth itself isn't very expensive, about $20,000, but installation can be even more than that. So there's some variability there. Then the other variability is we put in what we thought would be required to get to cash flow positive, and that spans from $75,000 to $150,000 of working capital in there.
Okay. So. Okay.
Try to Excellent. Be conservative.
That's right. Love it. That's very thorough. Now I understand it's still a lot of heavy equipment. Of course, there's tenant improvements. That's a large space. And all that electrical, if you're doing 250 on each piece, that's a lot of power you're bringing to that unit. Okay. So I get the range. Is there a correlation between that 7,500 square feet and versus a 15,000 square foot facility relative to doing 3 to 5, 7 million. You follow
me?
So we
have a good idea of exactly what you can do in a 7,500 square foot space, and that's up to 3 million. Our franchisee in Denver, who's growing, he's growing significantly. He's into, generally speaking, the flex space has 7,500 square foot bays, and he's got three of those. So he's at 22.5 now. He's got over 40 employees, but generally speaking, your initial space will get you to 3 million, and then you're going to need additional space as you grow and get larger. You're going to need more storage space. So we make a lot of revenue just on storing cabinets, waiting on mitigation companies to finish drying and insurance companies to approve things. And so we charge storage fees. And so he's got one bay just for storage, one bay just for finishing, and one bay just for building cabinets.
That's great. We used to do that. We would charge for packouts and the storage of the packout. It's like we're holding on to a container of cabinets or furniture. We're charging the insurance company for the storage in the facility. That's excellent.
Yeah. Right now we flex our storage space in our 7,500 square foot shops with, if they're dock high doors, we'll get a semi trailer, and that's an extra 500 square feet. And we have in Memphis, we have five dock doors. So we use a ramp in one to get stuff in and out, but we can use the other four for storage, extra storage, or empty containers in the parking lot outside. So there's a number of ways to flex your storage and continue to grow. But we have operations like in San Francisco where we do a lot of revenue, upwards of 3 to 4 million, in a very smaller space than that. So
When I look at your revenue, so let's just to like kind of level set, especially for the audience, a brand will come and say, we're doing 3 million. And you're like, okay, how long have you been around? Oh, we've been doing this for 15 years. It's like, okay, 15 years, 3 million. You could see how they scaled over a 15-year period. What people need to understand when they listen to your item 19, your brand just started. This is a 2024 brand. The numbers that we're throwing around are remarkable. For, let's just call it what it is. It's somewhat embryonic in terms of the development and maturity of the concept, right? It's a young concept.
Well,
I know it's
let me clarify that.
Go ahead.
So we've been doing this service for over a decade under the Furniturematic name, and guys like Denver, he's 7 years in, and he you know, is doing what he's doing. And so it's not exactly embryonic, but we are launching new franchisees. We've had a great launch, and especially in markets where the insurance companies are really strong and begging us, like Atlanta, and just within the second month, just dumping work on our brand new franchisees. And we're rushing to help them handle that business. And so it's not exactly embryonic. I said, it was invented by franchisees over about 10 years ago, and we've been doing it.
Okay.
We did convert 4 franchisees from Furniturematic to Renewmatic, and we bought 4 others out corporately. So our corporate locations of all other than Memphis, which we started last year, are all longstanding businesses. So,
okay. I appreciate the clarification. So like Northern California, Phoenix, Chicago, these were converted from Furniturematics to Renewmatics. Yep. They had a history of operating, which is why those revenue numbers are very high relative to a 2024 conversion date.
Yes.
Understand. All right.
We have launched brand new franchisees. We launched in Memphis from scratch last year. And so we know what to expect in that first year as well. So
location did over $500,000 in a year. So. Right. Just like right out of the gate. It's impressive. So the item 19 gets into this Denver franchisee. And I think you just said it, that Denver franchisee had a 10-year, is that correct? A 10-year history prior
seven
to
year.
Seven, yeah. A 7-year history prior to converting over to Renew Medic. His high watermark was over $7 million. Last year, he did $5.8 million. This guy has an EBITDA number of $1 million, 17%.
He's growing a good 20% this year as well. So he's doing well. And he's a great validator. He loves helping new franchisees. He sponsors them to come out and look at his operation.
I'd be a happy validator too with $1 million EBITDA. Come on now. This guy's on his way to, like, let's say his goal has to be an 8-figure top line gross, you know, franchise, I would imagine.
My goal for all of our franchisees is to make sure they have a business plan and a succession plan. I ask the question of every franchisee coming in, you know, tell me what your life looks like 10 years from now and tell me what your business looks like 10 years from now. And then, you know, let's talk about your business. Let's make a plan that says you're going to sell your business, regardless of whether you want to sell it or not. Let's make a plan that says I'm going to sell my business for X, whatever that is. And I know guys like Joe would like that have their X in the 8 figures, what they'd like to sell their business for. And, you know, there's some level of revenue that will create that value, and there's some level of profit that will create that value, and some level of revenue that will create that profit, some number of people that will create that revenue. And so it all came from kind of, let's call it Stephen Covey's 7 habits. Habit number 2 is to begin with the end in mind. Let's start your business before you ever start it with the end in mind that says, I'm going to sell it for this. And it doesn't matter. 10 years is the mark. It doesn't matter if you want to sell it. Don't want to sell in 10 years. Next year, you can change that mark and have it 10 years out. But you're always focused on something. And our goal is for you to walk away from training. The last day of training, you're presenting this fully developed business plan to the senior management team. We're critiquing it. We're making you question. To me, the beauty of building a business plan is the critical thinking that has forces you to go through every single line item and what drives that number. How can I impact that number? How can I, you know, focus on greater profitability? And having that business plan changes the relationship between a franchisor and a franchisee. It's no longer tell me what's going on in your business. It's very specific. And the goal is for you to never have to ask the question, what do I do next? Because it's written into a plan. We're selling this business in 10 years. 5 years I need to be here. I got a 5-year financial model. I understand what I need to do by the end of year one. Let's break that down to months. Let's break that down to weeks. And you ought to know exactly how many sales calls you need to, how many mitigation companies you need to knock on the door the first day you start your business out of training. So that's my personal philosophy, what I try to bring to the business and make sure every single business owner has that. There was a study done, and I don't have the reference to it, but it said franchisees who have a written business plan and refer to it once a week in a business meeting make 800% more profit than franchisees that either have a written business plan and don't refer to it that often or don't have one at all. It didn't matter. And I did a quick study of a group of franchisees. I was teaching a class at a franchise convention and asked them to raise your hand if you have a business plan and keep it raised if you look at it once a week in a meeting. And only one kept their hand up. And I asked them, how much do you make? And then we went around the room. It was amazing that she made 750% more than the average of everybody else in the room. So that's a real thing.
Absolutely.
And so that's important to us.
What gets measured gets done, right? You have to obsess over certain things. And if you're obsessing over your business model, if you're obsessing over your P&L, if you're obsessing over your labor and acquiring new customers, it's true. Like people do, they overcomplicate things. It's not that complicated. Create a plan, execute that plan flawlessly, and make sure that you and your staff are constantly reminding each other, right, of the goals, the mission. It's true. A lot of people will go into a meeting. It's like, You talked about everything that has nothing to do with acquiring new customers, keeping the ones we have, increasing frequency, increasing the average ticket, customer service. It's amazing to me. It's like you just had an hour meeting talking about complete nonsense. You know, you wanted the employees to park in the back of the building. That's the meeting. It is. It's mind blowing to me. And those folks that do obsess over that business plan, that exit strategy, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right.
And I said, it changes the relationship between a franchisor and franchisee. It's much more productive. It's much more focused. What can we do to help you on this one specific item that we agreed that needed to be focused on? And it's not
definitely
just, you know, how can I help you? That type of thing. So,
yeah, no, it's great. Look, you're a seasoned guy. Your people have the right guy at the helm. You're going to build a huge brand. You know what you're doing. You're not first time to this rodeo. So, you know, the way you're handling this brand, it's coming from decades of experience. And I love that you're focusing on exit, which allows the people who put their hard-earned money, this is not an inexpensive investment, they put a lot of money on the line, and you're helping those folks create wealth if they're not already wealthy on the exit, which I think is just fantastic.
I have a firm belief that a franchisor has three key responsibilities: to help you start your business, to help you grow that business, but then when things are done, to help you sell that business. And you should be in for the long haul, help you transition. I see the future of Renew Medic as a bunch of very large franchise owners that sell their businesses to private equity and then them grouping those together and creating tremendous value. So that's my goal, is to maybe find your vision and maybe help you lift that vision, teach you the steps to get there, and then work on it relentlessly until that happens.
Well said. I like that. That's a first on the show for a C-suite member to say that. I love the simplicity of those three steps, and it couldn't be more true. That's what franchisees are expecting. I've never done this before. You have. Show me the way. Just explain it to me. How do I do this? How do I build a business that doesn't rely on my day-to-day involvement, that I could actually sell this thing for a nice multiple of EBITDA?
I talk to franchisees. That's your main goal, is to get this business to run. You know, when you decide to go to Europe, Italy for 45 days and nobody knows you're gone, the day that happens, your business just takes about a 50% leap in value.
That's right.
Not because it's professionally run and managed. It takes on a whole different dynamic of who's going to buy it. So that's the focus, is how do we get this to the point where it doesn't need you anymore?
I love it. Mike, what didn't we talk about? Any announcements, anything you want to add? This was fantastic, but I just want to make sure we touched on things that are important to you.
Just, you know, just the fact that this is a train and the train has left the station. We have got 12 operating locations with 38 territories. We've sold 3 additional for 8 more territories, and we have 6 more contracts in hand. And so this, you know, these large territories have only allows us right now, we have only 304 more territories to sell. And it's going to be a quick road to that next 2-3 years. There's not going to be much opportunity left. And so if there's any interest, and to me, this is, if you're thinking about disaster restoration, you got to take a look at that. That's 24/7, 365, yeah. Christmas morning, 2 a.m. You're going to be in somebody's home at some point, taking sewage out of the basement. This is Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and it has all the margin, all the opportunity that any mitigation company could have. And you get to see the entire spectrum of work in any given city. So it's a remarkable opportunity. Like I said, we think this is a really cool idea with a lot of legs, and we're going to, on the wall outside of my office, our mission statement out there says, our vision statement says, build a brand that brings franchisees pride, success. Pride to me is more that, you know, understanding your business is more than, you know, making you money. It's an opportunity to change other people's lives, develop them, help them grow and succeed in life. And then the success is just that daily focus on helping the franchisees and helping them find opportunities, find ways to improve their profitability, and ways to provide additional capital to grow their business. To me, franchising, the beauty of franchising is replicating success.
That's right.
And the real beauty is for you to take your success and replicate it and build something that has far more value than you might even think you could possibly have. I've seen and have had franchisees in even in home service spaces that have sold their businesses for more than $100 million. And I've seen it. I've seen how they've done it and been part of helping them in that process, multiple people. And so these things can be anything you want it to be. We're here to help our franchisees achieve whatever dream they have. I'm going to find out what dream you have, and I'm going to maybe push you on it, maybe give you a little kick in the pants and say, let's think about maybe twice that and get the, you know, not just your kids' inheritance, but your grandchildren's inheritance. So anyway, that's just love what I do. And like I said, my wife said, you're not helping anybody. I'm trying to help people now, and I appreciate the opportunity for that.
That's great. That is a powerful closing statement. I appreciate it. I'm very appreciative of your time. I enjoy learning about your brand. I wish you great success. I have no doubt you'll sell 300 territories. I have no doubt in my mind. And I really appreciate you coming on, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.